We worship you with all of our heart, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord. All right, so I'm going to say a few things here. Number one is that I just want to lift up, you know, if you got the pastor's letter, everybody say glory to God. Yeah, because I missed a couple of them. And anyway, I apologize for that. But this is a trust in the Lord. And I want to lift that up and just mention that. And you know what we have on there, and I'm not going through it all, but one of the things, you know, got the promise of the month. And I really want you to, you know why I do this? I don't do it for my own fun, okay? You know, I do this for you. And this is a wonderful study guide for you to take through the week, right? And you do other things, but use it. Use it as a tool in your life. But I want you to see, and I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm just saying this. You give some time to the promise of the month, all right? You give some time to the promise of the month, and I'll say that, that's it. This is the book that we're reading. You know, we're reading a book. There's a book review quote, and this book that we're reading is called Holy in Christ by Andrew Murray. That's what it looks like, all right? Do you have it? If you don't, get it, okay? And start reading it. Right, this is for you again, for your good, for your well-being, you know, for your spiritual maturity, right? Now, you might find it weighty. I don't know. It might be. It's not a novel, you know. Right? That's only all that Christians read anymore is Christians' novels, you know. You know, nobody reads any real true works anymore. That's just the way it is. But this do you good. This will do you good. Wade through it. If you got to wade through it, then wade through it. Take what you read and then pray about it. Right? So I just want to give those things to you right there. There's a few of them, and I pray that you'll make use of that. Now, there's a few other things that I want to say. You know, you can say, boy, the pastor's awful gabby. He plans on preaching too? You better believe it. Okay. All right, we got that National Day of Prayer that's coming up, and that's May the 7th. We saw that little video, real nice, you know, so you remember that. And also, God's called us. It's good to have a National Day of Prayer, but that's if churches and Christians pray on the National Day of Prayer and they don't do much of it the rest of the week, it was nothing but a show. It was just nothing but a show. And there's a lot of gospel shows going around. Okay, makes everybody feel warm and fuzzy, you know. But it don't move God much, okay? It don't move God. We got to be a people of prayer. I'm going to lift up this prayer table right here, and I just, that's part of a ministry that we have as a church. We are to be a people of prayer. We're to be a church of prayer, and everything that God's got in front of us is based on prayer. Prayer. So, you know, come by, put your hands on it, and pray over it. You know, we sure appreciate you doing that. Just do it. And I just want to bring that to your attention, you know, about that. We're to be a prayer of faith before God, and we're going to be a people of the Holy Spirit. You know, God's called us for that. You know, we need that. We need the Holy Spirit, otherwise we fail. Otherwise we fail. All right, May 10th is Mother's Day. I want you to keep that in mind. I want to say, in light of also going back to the prayer, is pray for our president and pray for his safety and his security, and also pray for America. Please be praying for America and been lifting also up these midterms, right? Okay. I know I probably don't even need to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway. All right. And then Mother's Day is May the 10th. Now, listen, you start preparing, all right, May the 24th is Pentecostal Sunday. All right. May the 24th is Pentecostal Sunday. And so, we're going to celebrate the Holy Spirit, and the way we're going to celebrate the Holy Spirit is in the Holy Spirit, okay, right? You know, because pardon my French, but he ain't no historical figure. He's for us now and today. Everybody say glory to God. All right, I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to take you back to the scriptures that we were looking at last week. The title of this message is Blessed with Abraham the Believer. And I really encourage you to go along with me in the scriptures. I also encourage you to take notes. You know, we're not just preaching pretty little sermons that inspire you, right? I'm not out to inspire you, all right? I'm out to feed you the truth of the Word of the living God, you know, that brings transformation to your life, all right? You know, so, you know, we want to be serious Bible students before the Lord. And so I just encourage you to take notes. I encourage you to look at the Scriptures. There's a difference between hearing me read it and you really seeing it. Do you understand that? You understand that? You know, you hear it and, oh, that's really good. But for it to take into your heart, you know, for it to take on, there's a word in Scripture that says meditating upon the word of the Lord. You don't meditate on the word of the Lord because you heard somebody read it. You know, that's not meditating on the word of the Lord. All right. You know, so, you know, we need to be a little more. We need to be a little more as believers. Be in the word. Be in the Word. You want to find God? Do you want to find the power of God? Do you want to find the promises of the Almighty God? Do you need the Lord? Do you need the Lord? Then why don't you seek after His face? If you will seek after His face and you will call upon the name of the Lord and you will believe upon the Lord, He will come into your life in power, might, and glory. And He will give you His blessing. Okay, I want you to see a few things right here. You know, blessed with Abraham, the believer. You know, my prayer this morning is that you begin to see just how faithful that your God is to keep His covenant, that He is a covenant-keeping God. And I want to begin, I'm going to read some of the same things. This is now in Galatians 3, and this is in verse 6. You know, and it says right here in verse 6, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. You know, we need to believe upon the Lord. And the way that we believe upon God from a scriptural standpoint is with our whole heart. You know, a lot of times in American-style Christianity, you know, the way we do things is that, well, you believe on God when you get saved, and then you believe on God in various times of practice, and but when you really need Him, then you really try to believe upon God. But we walk by faith. We live by faith. You know, the covenant that we walk in the Lord Jesus Christ is a covenant that is on the basis of grace through faith. That grace flows into your life as you believe upon God. You know, you are to be a believer. You're to be a believer according to the word of the Lord. You know, and we take that word right there, that word believer, and pithio, and it means persuaded, one that's persuaded or convinced or assured. It means the word trust, and it means also seeking the favor of. And of course, it's talking about seeking the favor of the living God. You want to live a life of faith. You know, this is how the Lord will make Himself known to you. You know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will make Himself known to you. He wants to make Himself known to you. He's removed your sins. If you're in Jesus, He's removed your sin. The intimacy that is between you and God has been removed, according to Ephesians chapter 2. The enmity, you know, that means the hostilities. That means the accusations that God has against you, okay, that He has against you. What, let me tell you what I got against you. Let me tell you what you've been doing wrong. Then He's removed it. He's removed it in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and now we live in covenant reunion and fellowship with the living God. And the way that we pursue that fellowship with the living God is that we walk by faith. We walk by faith. I want to encourage you in your faith today. I want to encourage you in that. This is what verse 7 says, therefore be sure. Now, the NIV, instead of using the word sure, because I want you to catch that word right there, it uses the word understand. And the reason that it does is because the Greek word right here, genosko, it is to come to know. It means to come to know. It means sure. It means to comprehend. And it means, look, listen to this, to ascertain, to ascertain. So this is something that's being made known, you know, and this is the thing that happens. If you will walk by faith, what you will find is that you'll find a revelation knowledge that will begin to flow in you to where God makes Himself known to you. You will find things coming into your heart, coming into your mind, that where you'll have a comprehension of what God wants you to comprehend. You'll have an understanding that was not obtained through an intellectual understanding. You know, it's through intellectual understanding, you know, you see it from the outside. You know, but when you have by revelation knowledge that comes through the Holy Spirit, it comes on the inside. It becomes alive to you. It becomes something that is real to you. It's not simply some kind of a concept that you're trying to act upon. No, it's living. It's living and it's alive in the heart. And when it's alive and it's living in the heart, then you have been empowered to stand in Jesus upon the promise of Almighty God and to receive that which that revelation has been speaking to you about. This is how God works in believers. This is how he works. So that word, and I want you to see something. Therefore, be sure, all right? Hey, you out there, you be sure that it is those who are of faith. Now listen, who are sons of Abraham. Now, that means that the blessing upon Abraham has that blessing come upon you in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word that was given to you, it says, hey, you be sure that you know this. You be sure. This is not a question. It's a living reality in the Lord Jesus. He goes on, he says this. He says in verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Listen, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham. And this is what he said to Abraham, saying, all of the nations shall be blessed in you. Abraham knew what God was doing. He knew that it wasn't just simply about him or Isaac or Jacob or even just the 12 tribes of Israel. You do realize that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, don't you? Do you? Do you know that? He's not simply the Gentile Savior. Let's quit this stuff. Let's quit this stuff. I'm going to say something you may not like. Let's quit this deitizing Israel stuff. Let's stop it. Okay? Jesus is the Savior. Israel is blessed, but Israel's blessing is in Jesus. He is their Savior. Are you hearing me? And all you got to do is read the scriptures very clearly and you can see that that is very clear. And then one day that Jesus will come and he'll make himself clearly known to all of the descendants of Abraham. And that will happen. But I want you to have that understanding just exactly who Jesus is. Not only is Jesus the Messiah, there is no other Messiah, right? There is no other Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Messiah for all of the Gentiles. He's the Messiah of Israel. We need to clearly understand just all of that. And not only that, but every jot and tittle of the law has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. God does not abandon covenants. What God does is he fulfills them. All right? The Abrahamic covenant was not abandoned. You know, what it was, it was fulfilled. And then that's why that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been ushered in to the blessing of Abraham. We are blessed with Abraham. And I want you to see that's exactly what's being said. So Abraham knew all the nations shall be blessed in you. Now here's verse 9. So then, that's a little bit of a summary. So then those who are of faith are blessed. Now look here, with Abraham the believer. Did you hear that? I'm not simply blessed and Abraham's blessed. I'm blessed with Abraham. Are you hearing that? Are you hearing that what the word of the Lord's saying is that the blessings that were on Abraham now in Jesus are also on me? Now Now let me read it one more time and let you get it into your heart. So then those who are of faith. Now there's a qualification, and that's the people that are of faith. Because the one thing that Abraham did is that he believed God. He believed God. You know, that didn't make him a perfect man, you know, and he had a journey, you know, for God to fulfill what he was going to fulfill. You're on a journey for God to fulfill all that God seeks to fulfill in your life. And it's a journey of faith and following and loving the Lord your God with all of your heart. All right, now we see right here again, I want you to see in verse 9 again, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. I'm not also blessed, I'm blessed with him. That's what the word says. I'm blessed with him. You know, and one would say, well, you know, well, how was Abraham blessed? Well, it's really good, but there's a lot to study there. There's a lot to study there, you know, but for the purposes of this particular message, I'm just going to speak in particular generalities of some of those blessings that are upon you, that how you are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Let's don't leave it out. You know, well, if you look at Abraham's life was crowned with three particular things that no matter what happened to him, he was always crowned with these particular three things. The first one was the favor of God. You know, it didn't matter what happened. It didn't matter what took place. I'm amazed. I pray that you will see how faithful that God, that God is to his covenant, how sacred that he and how much he honors and how he responds to the covenant, and even more so through the righteous, holy blood of Jesus. You know, but no matter what took place, Abraham always had these three blessings, even in his foolishness, even in his defeats, even in his failures. You know, somehow the evil one likes us to think, well, you know, I fell in a ditch, you know, and everything in God kind of stopped right there until I get out of the ditch. I got to get out of the ditch. Nothing's going on right now because I've fallen in the ditch, you know, and God's not moving until I get out of that ditch. I need to get out of the ditch. There's no doubt about that part, but I want you to understand that God is not stopped by you having fallen in the ditch. I want you to know that right now. You know, so he was crowned with favor, he was crowned with abundance, and he was crowned with the riches of the kingdom of God. And I just mentioned it, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, you know, and even though he was rich, he became poor so that you might become rich in him. In Jesus, I'm paraphrasing it. Now, I know that the prosperity people, I love prosperity, and it's a promise of God, and I can't deny it, you know, but that's not the promise that God's going to give you greenbacks, all right? That's not the promise that God's going to, there's a whole lot more to prosperity than having a boatload of money, right? You know, there's some people rather have their soul saved. There's some people rather have peace of mind. There's some people rather have contentment in their heart and having a little bit of happiness and satisfaction, things that are kind of an elusive nature, you know, that money can't buy. You know, I'm not saying that money is not good. If you have financial need, then what you need to do is that you need to believe God that he's going to financially bless you. And you give yourself to the Lord. And now don't, you know, you can't believe him to bless you financially and then you not let him change you. You don't want change, forget it, okay, because it don't work that way. And, you know, he wants you, and he's got unlimited blessings in store for you in your life. And if you have a need, you give your heart to him every time you call upon him, and then you also believe upon him. You know, so we see this. We see that everything that happened, that his life was crowned with favor, and it was crowned with abundance and with riches. You know, what blunders that he did, what mistakes that he made, what weaknesses in faith. You know, oh, Lord God, you know, how can I be so blessed when the only heir that I got is Eleazar, you know, that is a servant in my house, you know. Oh, let Eleazar live before the Lord, right? You know, and that's, you know, that he wanted God to bless what he could see and understand. That's what he wants. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, oh, Lord God, you know, I just want you to bless what I can see, what I can understand. You know, and God said, no, we're not going to do it that way. You're not going to do it. I got blessings in store for you, you know. And you understand that where God was bringing Abraham is the same place that he's bringing to you. That everything that God does, he does it on the basis of promise. You know, Isaac was coming. Isaac was coming, but he was the child of promise. And that's what God was going to do. And the whole point was that God was to fulfill his covenant through promise. He would find the people that would believe him. And that what he would do is that if they would believe him, that what he would do is give promises of things that only God could do. That nothing, nobody could do. God couldn't do it. No one else could do it but God. And that's the life that you're living before the Lord. That's the life he wants you to live before the Lord. And so here we are. And so here it was. And then Abraham, oh, come. And then, you know, and I'm going to turn to that in a minute. But then the next thing, you know, oh, boy, it really became a mess, didn't it? You know, he went to Egypt and, you know, saying, hey, you know, you tell everybody that you're, my sister. You know, he's kind of throwing Sarah to the wolves there a little bit, wasn't he? You know, right? You know, we're going to save my hide right here. I don't know all of what's going to happen to you, but, you know, I want you to lie a little bit for me, you know. And anyway, you know, God gives deliverance and gives promise in Peter, you know, an inheritance to those godly women in Sarah. You know, so I want you to know that God does that and promises that. Well, God moved and intervened, but he didn't do it because of a blunder of Abraham, did it? He did it because of his covenant faithfulness. Even when Abraham wasn't walking where he was supposed to walk, God's covenant faithfulness was still going forth. You know, and then, my goodness, you know, kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? He turned around and did the same thing all over again, right? You know, with King Abimelech, right? And he did that. And then if that wasn't enough, boy, it really got bad. You know, it really got bad. It really got bad, you know, with all of them. You know, they just got desperate. They kind of give up. I'm talking about Abraham and Sarah. But see, when you give up, God does not. I'm not encouraging you to give up, right? I'm not encouraging you to give up, right? And, you know, one of the greatest dangers, I want to speak it right now, one of the greatest dangers for you in your walk, your covenant walk with Almighty God, is that you become ho-hum in your faith. You become ho-hum. I'm trying to help you here this morning. Don't become ho-hum in your faith. You know, there's a battle, there's a war. Okay, fight the good fight for the faith is what the word of the Lord says, and that's what you must do, and it'll be worth every bit of it. It will be worth every single bit of it. You know, then there came Hagar. You know, they all got down. And, you know, and here comes Sarah saying, I'm going to give you Hagar, you know. And, you know, Abraham's like, oh, okay, you know. Now here we are, right? You know, and then, you know, she conceived. And then it got bad. It got bad at that point, right? You know. I mean, you don't want to talk about all these trials and difficulties that took place right here in the midst of this. Now, with this, I'm going to come back to that because I want to talk about that for a moment. But I'm going to come down and read this just a minute because I want you to see it. This is now over here in 13. And this is in Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, you understand why this happened? Do you understand what took place, you know, through this event? In verse 14, in order, that's a big word, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, that's for another time. But, you know, we understand that because Abraham did not hold back his only begotten son who was given through promise and came about through promise, not because of their own efforts, works, or abilities, but Isaac came as promise fulfillment. And God said, give him to me. Genesis 22. And you know the story, I'm going to give more time to it at a later date. But that's what he did. And Hebrews 11 says very clearly the state of mind of Abraham was that he knew that God couldn't lie. He knew that God would fulfill his good covenant. He knew that Isaac had been given to him as a child of promise. He was the manifestation of the power of only what God could do. And when he raised up the knife, it says in the word of the Lord that he believed that God could even raise a man from the dead. That was the state of mind when Abraham raised the knife. He wasn't weeping, crying, pleading, and falling apart. He raised it. He didn't know where this thing was going. And he didn't understand all that what God was doing. He just knew that I'm believing upon my God and upon his promise that he's made to me. And I know that my God cannot lie. And he raised the knife. And the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. And you know, before all of this, Isaac kept saying, Father, where's the sacrifice? And he kept saying, the Lord will provide. And when they got off their donkeys, where they were going was a 3-day journey. Interesting, huh? And he kept saying, the Lord will provide. God had already told him what he wanted him to do. I hope you're hearing the faith of Abraham. And that's exactly what he did. And then all of a sudden there appeared a ram in a thicket. And he untied his son. And they sacrificed the lamb. And it was at that very point, he says, because you have given your only begotten son to me, I will give to you and all of your descendants my only begotten son. And at that point, when God said, you know, I'm giving you my only begotten son, not simply as a sacrifice, but that so that you could be grafted in to more than you ever dreamed and be royalty in my kingdom, sons of God. And because of that event, Jesus was given all the blessings and the riches of the kingdom come through him. I want you to see another place. And if you would go over here, I need you to go to Genesis. How God is so faithful to the covenant. Now, I'm not promoting unfaithfulness. I'm really not. But I want you to know that when you're weak and down, I want you to know that he remains faithful. You know, I want you to know that if you're in a spirit of rebellion against God, that he remains faithful. I'm not encouraging, that is, if you're giving your heart to Jesus. Some people just do lip service. You know, they draw near with their hearts, with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. You know, you don't want to be that. Not only that, but if you're, you know, in rebellion, rebellion and sin scares me to death. Okay? You know, just go read Hebrews chapter 10. You know, and, you know, from every son he receives, he disciplines. Okay? So you're not going to escape discipline from God? I just like it lighter than harder. You know, I just like it a whole lot lighter than harder. You know, I want to learn to say yes quick. Right? I want to repent quick. Right? I want to turn to the Lord quick, whatever it would be, you know. I want to do it quickly, you know, because he's so faithful to the covenant that if he has to discipline us to bring us to obedience, that's exactly what he will do. I want you to see this thing right here. You know, so then this Abraham, how faithful God is. I'm going to go, and I want you to see some, maybe not seen it before, I don't know. I've read many times, this is in, I want you to come on over here in Genesis 16. And that's where I'm going to go, in Genesis 16. I want to see you to see this situation that unfolds right here with Hagar. What a mess that this is. You know, Abraham, you know, you can't tell me that when he went along with this, with Hagar, with Sarah, you know, Sarah was a part of it, and everything, that he was a mountain of faith. Don't go telling me that, all right, that he was a mountain of faith, because I just don't think he was. Do you? Right? You know, it's just like you and me. You get frustrated. You get bewildered. You know, you're standing on promises. You're following after the Lord. You know, you're tempted, you know, to kind of cool your heels toward God because you're not seeing anything happen in this way and that way and all that type of thing. Then your journey is no different from the journey of Abraham. But God is faithful to the covenant. He's faithful to the covenant. You know, so, you know, it got really pretty bad. And then at that particular point, we find that Abraham said, okay, Sarah, you know, do what you will with Hagar. You know, poor old Hagar, bless her little heart, right? You know, all she is a handmaiden, right? You know, and, you know, she's given, you know, to Abraham, and she conceives. At this particular point, you know, Sarah is not conceived, and this gets bad, and she sends Hagar away, right? What did Hagar do, right? You know, so she's also victimized in the middle of this. This is what you call a royal mess, okay? But then I want you to see this. Because of the covenant of Abraham, she goes, and you can just imagine. Verse 8 says, this is in Genesis 16, and he said, Hagar, this is what they call the angel of the Lord. I believe it's Jesus myself. You know, verse 7 says, and now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. Verse 9 says, then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. You know, she was going to have to obey what the angel of the Lord said in order to find the promise that God was giving to her. And this is an amazing thing, because this is how faithful God is. Even in the midst of this mistake, boy, it was a mistake. It's a mistake that we're all still paying for today. Okay, these are all of the descendants of Ishmael, and all of the descendants of Ishmael, kind of the Arab nations. We're still paying for this mistake in the earth today that is going on. But I want you to see that God honors his covenant through thick and thin, because God cannot lie. Verse 10 says, moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants, so that they shall be too many to count. The angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. And then because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. You know, why in the world is God, she was an Egyptian, right? She was Egyptian. Why is God paying attention to Hagar? The reason that God's paying attention to Hagar is because of his covenant with Abraham. In verse 12 says, and he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all of his brothers. And then verse 13 says, now I want you to see this. Boy, this jumped out at me like nobody's business. 13 says, then she called the name of the place Then she called the name of the Lord who called to her, thou art a God who sees. For now, listen, Listen, do you see what she says next? For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? She had an encounter. She had a holy encounter. This wasn't some little angel appearing to her. You hear what she said? Have I remained alive after seeing him? And then this is what goes on next, verse 14. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Berid. Now, let me just tell you what Beer Lahairoi means this, the well of the one who sees. It is the well of the one who sees. And then it goes on and says, so Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore as Ishmael. I'm going to close with this part of it, the message, because I find this very fascinating. It's very fascinating. I think she came back speaking of a few things. And, she went on and had the blessing of Abraham upon her. There's a blessing of God. I don't understand it all, but there's a blessing of God upon all of the descendants of Ishmael. And they're there because of Abraham. Even when things were not right, even when things were wrong, even when they were desperately wrong, God's faithful covenant hand remained. It remained. And that's why you can't stop the favor of God. You can't stop the abundance of the Lord. And you can't stop the riches of the Lord through your blunders. I'm not advocating blunders. I'm not advocating blunders. But I want you to know that He is faithful and that He is your strength. He is your strength. I got one more thing, and you find this is fascinating. Don't you find this amazing? And this is just simply, you can turn there or not, but I'm going to read it, and that's in Genesis 25. In Genesis 25 and 11, let me tell you what happens right here, is that now Ishmael and Isaac have come together, and they have buried Abraham. Okay, Sarah's gone, and now they have buried Abraham. And you know what Isaac does? Let me read it to you. This is Genesis 25, 11. And it came about after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac lived in Beer Lahairoi. After the death of Abraham, Isaac says, that's where I want to live. I'm going to go live over there by the well of the one that sees. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord God. We worship you and give you praise and give you glory. I'm going to close with this. I want you to hear some of the faithful promises of Almighty God. You just listen, and real quick, I'm going to read them. It's Joshua 21, 45. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the sons of Israel failed. All came to pass. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for as many as may be the promises of God, in him they are yes. And then 21 says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. And then and this is Hebrews 6, this is 11 and 12, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. 15 says, and thus having patiently waited, speaking of Abraham, and having patiently waited, he obtained the promises. Everybody stand. If you can't stand, that's fine. We're going to make some proclamations. I'll lead you into a couple of prayers. And the majesty of God is being released upon you here this morning. the majesty of the Lord your God. And I'm not even really quite sure what all that means right now, but the majesty of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit is resting upon the hearts and minds and shoulders of each and every one of you here this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. He's releasing his majesty upon you in the name of Jesus. Everybody say with me, I confess today that I am blessed with Abraham the believer. I believe upon all of the good promises of God. I receive the covenant blessings of my God in Jesus' name. I call myself blessed of God. My faith is in Jesus, my Lord, my King, my Savior. I receive the blessings of the Lord upon my family, my relatives, and generations of descendants to come. In Jesus' name, I raise up today and I call myself blessed. I receive the heritage of the righteous here in the earth, in Jesus' name. I receive the blessings of God, the favor of the Lord, the abundance of God, and the riches of the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Now let's give him praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we receive from you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive from you today. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Kathy, why don't you all come on?